That's it. That's what we've been waiting for. 2 1/3 innings, 5 walks. Did he hit 100, Kevin Barker?
No.
Not that that's a big deal. Well, yeah, it is.
Well, you said it.
Because I'd like to see it at least once every Nate Pearson.
So you'd like to see 100 and him still go 2 1/3? Not me.
I would like to see it at least once every outing.
I want to see him throw.
I can find.
How about 95 pitches? The first one he throws is 98. The last one he throws is 98. How about maintaining that velocity throughout the entire game? What? Who cares if he throws 94?
Come on. You know the way the game is now.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you think Jacob DeGrom says? Do you think Jacob DeGrom goes into game without thinking, I'm gonna dust off a Hondo here?
You just went straight from Nate Pearson to the best pitcher on the planet.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something,
buddy.
If you got it, it makes no sense. Makes no good. Here's the thing. I don't care if you can throw it in spring training. That doesn't matter. I don't care if you can throw it in a playoff game when you're losing 8-2. Everybody got worked up about Nate Pearson in the playoffs. By that point, Tampa Bay's already looking at the scouting report for the next series. That series was over. I don't care if you throw it in the minor leagues. I care if you hit 100 in the minor leagues.
So all you were caring about seeing triple digits. That's it.
That would show me that he's comfortable. When he got through that first inning without hitting 100, I'm not saying every pitch, but show it to me. Show it to the hitters. Put it in their mind. He gets out of that, I'm going, he got nothing today.
That's what you thought.
Got nothing.
Rowdy Tellez turns that double play in the third inning. It might be a little different story, too.
No.
What? Well, hit right at him.
Might be a different story. He gave out five walks. He threw 11 consecutive walks or 11 consecutive balls in the second inning.
Yeah, it wasn't solid.
Just seemed like walk. No. And this is the thing. We'll talk about this. It is Baseball Central, Jeff Blair, and Kevin Barker. This is just a continuation of the discussion we were having off air. Of course, the Jays lost 7-4 to the Houston Astros yesterday. They lost 2 of 3 that series against the Astros. Ho-hum, another pitcher on the IL, Rafael Dolis, with a calf strain. The reliever strain his calf. Would he bend down wrong getting coffee for somebody in the... Like, seriously. How does a reliever strain his calf? Like, what were they, did they have him doing? Was he doing Pilates or one of those leg stretching things? I don't care if Rafael Dolis can put his freaking foot behind his head. Enough of this nonsense. Dudes are getting hurt without throwing a pitch. Barker, dudes are getting hurt. That is a reliever. Relievers don't even have calves. I mean, they don't. They don't have calf muscles to strain. Jesus.
Yeah, he does.
Anyhow.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, it's just, I'm look.
It's getting a little out of hand.
It's getting out of hand. Listen, I'll buy into what Ross Atkins said last week. You know, the athletes are bigger, stronger. There's more force involved and all that. Not Rafael Dolis. He's not.
I'm sorry. True.
Anyhow, another pitching injury. Here's where we're going to this. 590-590 is a text line. And we got a lot to talk about after this week because a whole crap load of stuff happened here. It's all about Nate Pearson right now, though. That was not a good start for Nate Pearson. Newsflash. But here's the thing, Bark. Automatically, you know, after the game was over, understandably, Charlie Montoya was asked what the next step is for this guy. Well, they're going to look at video, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. Let's just let Nate Pearson find his sea legs in the major leagues. You got nobody, you know, there's nobody else with a ceiling. I'd rather see Nate Pearson get his you-know-what's lit up in 2 1/3 innings at the major league level and go down to the minors and strike out eight over five. That doesn't tell me anything. I'd rather see him up here. And you know what? If he's not capable of giving you length, then you know what you do? Yeah, put him in the bullpen. But there's no point at this time. Like, we got to stop treating this guy as if he's some 19-year-old high school phenom.
He's 24.
He's 24.
It's time to find out.
It's time to find out.
It sure is.
And I don't want him. I don't care what he does in AAA. And you know what? I quite frankly don't care if his confidence is rattled. Maybe it's good for him to have his confidence rattled.
No, it's not. I've been there. That doesn't work that way.
Now you see, now you're changing everything you said off the air. You're such a fraud. Everything you said off the air, now,
I set
now
you
you're
up,
changing
didn't I?
It.
I set you up.
So you would send him down to the...
No chance. Not a chance.
All right.
Because what's his next start? It's going to be against Phillies at home. Then his next one after that be against Boston at home.
Sure you wouldn't
and
want
then
him...
his next start be against Tampa at home.
You sure you wouldn't want him facing the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders or whatever the hell they are?
Four and
go
a
down
third
and
would
kick some Rail Rider ass, big fella.
Punch
yes,
outs.
Sir. Go down and kick some Rail Rider ass. All those 39-year-old guys in AAA, try to hit this 100. Try to hit this 100. Try
you
to
think
hit
he
this
threw
100.
100 down there in his first start?
Yes, he did.
You know that for a fact?
No.
So why'd you say it?
He better.
How do you know that? How do you know if he did?
What else? You know, we've gone the other way with this guy. First, we didn't want him to throw 100, 101, 101.2, because everybody's, don't worry about the velocity. Velocity's no good, you know, just develop, blah, blah, et cetera. If you got it, flash it. Yeah, everybody in the majors who throws 100 now.
Do they?
You take a look.
I mean,
Aroldis Chapman, I don't want to hit 100. I'd rather throw 98 mile an hour fastball instead of 100.
I mean, that's a terrible take by you. It's okay to see two and a third as long as you see them triple digits, boy.
No, obviously not. I'm not. Would I feel better if he threw?
You would have felt better if he'd added two more miles an hour, threw 98 a couple of times.
He would have thrown 100 over
something to build off of.
At least one pitch over two and a third innings.
Yeah,
maybe he can't do it. Maybe he's not healthy. I don't know.
Healthy? Did he look not healthy?
No, he looked.
You gotta start that.
He looked healthy. He looked. Here's the thing I don't get though. All everybody talked about when he went in the disabled list was how he worked in his mechanics. And, you know, they seemed to figure out that he was flying open and that, you know, how can a guy pitch from the stretch and still fly open, Bark? Like, I can see a guy being a mechanical mess if you throw 100 and you got a wind up. I could see all that. But
a lot of parts, yeah.
Yeah. How can a guy be that messed up mechanically in the stretch? Isn't that the reason?
That's a great question. That is a tremendous question.
No, but isn't that the reason you?
Why you don't have a windup is so you can simplify it and repeat it over and over and over again, so you can throw it where you want to throw it.
But that ain't
like it's working.
Doesn't work in the majors, except for that.
Yeah,
two innings of relief against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, do you know what he looked to me like? He looked nervous.
Dude's got 18 walks and 20.
You know what he's looked to me like a lot of the times he's pitched? Like he's nervous. How do you fix that? Can you fix that? Can there be one of those aha moments where it's me against you?
I think the only thing...
Can you teach that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing you don't teach it. I think you just got to hope that he has a little bit of success.
Yeah, I know the Astros lineup's really good. First five or six guys in that order. That's why you have balanced lineup.
Yeah.
You have lefty-righty, 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 that kind of thing. So you have,
and
to,
they're
throw
veterans.
You have to throw them differently, right? You got to pitch some guys down, some guys up. Nate Pearson, you think he can go down with a certain guy? Elevate to a certain guy. You know, he looked to me like he's trying to nibble a little bit down too much. Breaking ball wasn't really good. Change up, he didn't throw enough.
Kevin, why?
I just mentioned that. Could have been he's nerdy. I don't know. You have to walk up and ask him that this is something he's going to have to correct. He's going to have to fix it and fix it in a hurry. And, you know, I think you got to really try and simplify it as much as possible, figure out how to command the fastball both sides of the plate. Start there. Forget about the breaking ball and I got four pitches. No, you don't. You don't got four pitches. Your breaking ball's not real good. You don't throw your changeup enough. You got two pitches. You got a heater. You got a slider. Work on those two.
Command
those two. If you got it, throw it.
See?
But maybe don't have it. Maybe don't have it. That's it's again.
You
know, again.
Consistently.
Consistently sit at a mile per hour. Maybe that has something to do with the head jerk. No, no. Petey, that's what I said. This is why more reason not to send him down.
Agreed.
No pitching coach in AAA has enough video that they can minusculely, is that a word, pick just all the way down to get it up to where it wants to go
as much a word as
mechanically
fruition.
And figure out what he's doing wrong. They do it at the big league level, and especially you can walk across the street to that $1 billion facility they just built and break it down to the nth degree and figure out what exactly is going on. And now, by the way, you got Pete Walker there. This is my point. Just leave him up here.
Yeah, there's that pitching lab. It's right next door to the door. It's right next door to the door that says calf strains for sale. 2-for-1. Got a 2-for-1 special in the high performance department.
Aren't they? On calf selling strain. A lot of those. Come in here, you.
Come in here, Raphael. Come in. Let me bend your leg okay. around my neck.
Okay, Charlie. He's good to go.
He's good, Charlie.
Take his elbow to his rib.
He can bend his leg
behind
around
his
head.
That's not
Charlie,
funny.
Sounds like that's exactly what's happening. He can sign his name backwards.
That's like exactly what's happening.
Anyhow.
I want to see. I got to be honest with you.
Look what I can do with my arm.
I want to see if Nate can figure it out. I really do. I want to see if he can figure it out at this level. Self-correcting is not the easiest thing to do.
Yep.
And that's one of the biggest things he has issues with. He's got to be able to feel it. You're Robbie Ray talk about that all the time. He understands how quickly he can self-correct, at least the first couple of starts he's had here. Nate Pearson's not there yet. I'd love to see him be able to do it at the big league level. That separates you from a lot of other people. And then you'll start to see, I think, the velocity's back, and he'll be able to maintain that and throw it as hard as he wants to throw it, when he wants to throw it that hard.
See, my whole point with this is, and I do have a point, my whole point with this is, what did Charlie say after Saturday's game? He was asked about pitching, and he said, right now it's just about covering innings. It's not even about matching up, right? It's just about covering innings.
Yeah, well, Ross Stripling's pitching the last day in Atlanta.
Right.
So there you go.
My point, though, is that keep Nate Pearson up here. Let him have another couple of starts at home, and he's got all that. You're right.
Yep.
He got all that technology there.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want from him, here's the thing. I think we need to look at Nate Pearson the way, let's forget where he ranks in anybody's ranking.
Yeah, who cares anymore?
Who cares? It doesn't matter anymore.
Cares anymore.
It doesn't matter whether you're the third best.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. Again, you do what Texas has done. You're pitching every fifth day. Get your routine down, and if there's, on this fifth day, if you can only give us 3 innings, well, guess what? We're going to have somebody ready.
Mm-hmm.
On this fifth day, if you give us 6 innings, well, we'll probably have to use less pitchers.
Ooh.
But you have to, what I'm saying is you have to do that, I think. And then if that doesn't work, if after 3 home starts, he's still life and death to make it out of the third or fourth inning, then I'm saying, okay, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to do the same thing we do. We're going to treat you like Anthony Kay. We're going to put you into the bullpen,
mm-hmm.
and we'll try to figure it out from there. And if it means all year that you're a swing guy or whatever,
yeah,
let me give you a couple of, because this is something we lose sight of because we're so intent on prospects.
Yeah. Love with
this guy in 1987, first full year in the majors. 6-14 with an ERA of 5.61. Know who that was?
No.
It was Greg Maddux. Javier Vasquez, pretty good pitcher.
Not too bad.
Long career.
Yep.
1998, 5-16 with an ERA of 6.06. He had a 1.532 whip.
Okay,
the
so those...
The point is, and the point is, as Felipe Alou told Javier Vasquez, you're giving up a lot of runs. You're giving up a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I keep sending you out there.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? Either one, I'm an idiot, which I don't think I am, or two, I must think you're going to be pretty good at some point. I think that's the approach you take with this guy.
I'm with you.
I really do.
So keep running him out there.
Yep. And again, if he's got back-to-back, if he has another 2 starts like this, into the bullpen. Or piggyback, but maybe you'll be the guy giving me 3 innings after Anthony Kay's 4 or whoever.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't like the bullpen part of it. I don't think he's geared up that way just yet. 24 years old, making him go. He's had 5 starts at big league level. Say you give him the other 3. That's only 8 starts. Really? You're gonna after 8 starts at the big league level, you're gonna move him to the bullpen. And what's he gonna learn from that? So it's about self-correcting. And when would you use him out of the bullpen? You're just gonna use him just to be using him, or are you gonna put him in situations that he can succeed
right
and help
now,
your team win?
Right now, if he can't do it as a starter. Then he's a guy for me. Mm. He's another arm. Maybe I give him some leverage. I pick the spots. Maybe I give him some leverage. Maybe I give him some sixth inning leverage situations. Get me out of an inning here. Maybe I do that. There are ways of building up a guy's confidence that way. But what I like about keeping him on the as a starter is, again, you want him to have that routine. But well, I'll tell you this. Three more bad starts up here.
Yeah.
Send him down to the minors?
No.
Five more bad starts up here. Six more bad starts.
Depends what the bad start is. Like, okay. You know, if he's given up tons of runs and the fastball command's not there and the velocity's not there and he just looks like he's lost, then obviously you got to do something. But if he doesn't look that way and he's just giving some things up, that's inexperience. And again, I get back to that self-correcting kind of thing. And I'd love to see the velocity. I'm not talking about the 100. I'm talking about, okay, if I see if you can throw easy 98. Yesterday, I will say this about him. When he was pitching yesterday, he didn't look like he was hunting velocity, which means every time he would throw a pitch, he wouldn't turn around seeing how hard it was. He didn't really look like he cared to me. That's an advanced stage because last year that's all he did.
What I also liked yesterday was his reaction when he gave up a couple of those bloops, a couple of fly balls, like, you know, hand and glove, like he was, I got an out. And that gets to your point. He's not necessarily fixated on striking out and racking up velocity.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him just.
Here's what I'd like to see too. I'd like to see some swing and misses on his fastball. If he's going to be successful for me, everything feeds off of his fastball. That's how he's going to gain confidence. There's that square. You know when they throw that square up to tell you how bad an umpire is? That's the square. That's exactly why they do it. That's exactly why.
That's such a Barkerism. They throw the square up on the box so you can see how horse crap the umpires are. No, it's a visual aid.
It's a visual aid
to help you, the viewer, see where the pitch is vis-a-vis the strike.
In your house, in my house, it's the other way around. Get him in that box with the fastball. You do that? Don't worry about who you're pitching to and try to pitch the weaknesses. They've been doing that a couple of starts now.
You know that box that shows you how bad the umpire is?
Oh, man.
Hey, we had another no-hitter on the weekend. Wade Miley. If you had Wade Miley throwing a no-hitter on your bingo card, congratulations. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. The game is all this talk about pace of play and action. We got 4.5 no-hitters. I'm going to give, let's call it 5 no-hitters, Matt, including Madison Bumgarner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's May 10th. We've had a team no-hit twice in the first 6 weeks
Stay
of the
hot.
Season.
Cleveland.
What the hell does that happen? Yeah, so the game has really done it's really done a great job of addressing the lack of action. Although no-hitters are kind of cool.
They are.
No-hitters
not
are cool.
Not if you're the hitter.
Yeah,
not.
I don't care about the hitter.
You don't?
No. As a fan, no-hitters are cool. As a fan, no-hitters create a lot of tension.
Watching Wade Miley throw a no-hitter, that's must-watch TV. That's calling your buddies going, hey, you see Wade Miley? Flip it over to that channel. Not a chance, Blair.
Anyhow, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about rat hunting in New York as well later on in the show.
Why not?
Talk about that. Barker's got some good fight stories you can tell me.
Not really a story. I'm not going to say them on the air, no.
But well, you can tell. You don't have to name the players.
Hundreds of them.
See, I thought you were the only one you witnessed was the infamous, go get him, Gibby, when Gibby and was it Shea Hillenbrand went at it? Ted Lilly.
Lilly
went at it. And
Ted Lilly, look, he's...
I know. But that
really
was
out in left field.
Roy Halladay looking down the hallway. Go get him, Gibby.
That's great.
Were there other fights that we don't know about that happened on that team?
I have no idea about that. No, I wasn't in the big leagues long enough to know that. I do know with minor leagues, there's tons of them. Everybody fighting for jobs, and you start struggling. And dog days of August. But dog days of August in minor leagues a little different than they are in the big leagues.
Yeah. Well, because now you're getting close to getting called
September.
Up too. Yep.
You make twice the money in September you at the big league level than you will in the minor leagues, excuse me, all year.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. Barker actually was a bystander at one of the most famous dugout altercations. They just showed it in MLB Network. We'll tell folks about it later on.
From afar. Was there.
But it was three fairly substantial personalities that got into it. We'll talk about it later. Two and a half.
One.
Oh, come on. The manager and the other guy.
The manager, not really.
The manager and the hitter. Come on.
Well, No.
I don't want to tell. Okay. I don't want to tell the listeners. We'll let you. And I'll ask you.
We figured it out. Before we go to break, we've obviously figured out the Nate Pearson thing.
Oh, of course.
They don't care if you stink. Throw 100.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
Yeah, I don't.
We don't care how bad you stink. Show us 100.
If you're only going to be in the game for 2 1/3 innings, come on.
Baby steps, what you're saying.
No, just show it. Show a little, you know?
Right.
Show a little.
Right.
Come on, you got it? You might as well show it, right? You know, just a little, just a peek, just a tease.
I might want a little bit more. I want to command both sides and maybe flip a slider occasionally for a strike. That's an option, too.
All right. We will continue our discussion of Nate Pearson. What else do we have to discuss here, Barker? We got to talk about Randall Grichuk.
We do. We talk about him all the time.
I know. He hit a Christian Javier slider, which does not happen. It is statistically one of the hardest pitches to hit in baseball.
I hung it.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the no hitters. And what else? What else did you want to talk about? We had a big list, and we seem to have gone through it.
Your list was big. My list was medium.
All right, we'll come back and deal with it, and we'll tell you about fights, good fight stories. I'm really overselling this, but you're going to come through, Barker.
I doubt it.
Yeah, you are. You're going to come through here. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, 590 is the text line. And we will get to the text line. I've asked the question on social media, otherwise known as Twitter. I asked the question, what can you do about Nate Pearson? Answer, nothing. You run him out every fifth day up here and see what he can do. Forget about the minors. That's what Barker says, me too. Do you agree? Lots of folks weighing in. Dave Snyder, exercising logic, says depends why he's struggling. Dave. Sports talk radio is no place for logic. Lots of folks agreeing. Mark Janoschak, does the Pearson logic hold true for Manoa too? If not, could it soon? He said, I can't text 590 from Houston. He's in Houston.
Nice.
Why can't you text 590 from Houston? I don't know. Anyhow, Andrew, get on that, will you?
See why they did. Manoa, get on right Pearson, now. 4-5 in your rotation sounds pretty good for the last 3 months of the season.
Well, here's the thing. Alec Manoa was more impressive than Pearson. His first start was more impressive than Pearson's first start.
Throwing strikes, striking people out.
Anyway.
Six innings.
Anyway at all. You see both of these guys in the majors.
1,000%, but I'm not running.
I'm asking you, do you think?
Would I love to see it? I sure would. You talking about pushing Nate. Alec Manoa seems to not care about everybody else and care about himself and thinks he's really good.
Yeah, which
and
is
he's
good.
Showing that he's really good.
What you want in a pitcher?
Here's my best stuff.
You know
see
who else
if
is like
it.
That? Roy Halladay. I'm not saying he's Roy Halladay, but Roy Halladay was like that. Roy Halladay didn't give a rat's ass.
Would you
it.
Rather see Tommy Malone and
like
Anthony
Tommy
Kay?
Malone.
And of course you do. Well, you're the only one. So you would rather see Tommy Malone than Alec Manoa, what. But
Tommy Malone's hit 100 in the majors this year as often as Nate Pearson has.
Ooh. I mean, if they're your future, let's see it.
Yeah. Andre, agree. Let the major league coaching staff work with him. He's nothing to prove in the minors.
Nope.
I think most people are on the same page.
Now, will it happen? With that, the homestand will tell. Small ballpark, you know, stop trying to pitch to people's weaknesses and use your strength. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
A guy can't hit a ball down. Don't try and throw the ball down.
Andrew in Bradford, 590 is a text line, Barker. He's been listening.
There you go.
I'd be buying low on Germán Márquez of the Rockies. He could help this rotation. The Rockies are in dire need of a rebuild. Márquez with years left on a reasonable deal. I mean, I will say this. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I am puzzled by the fact that this team would add George Springer this year, would add Marcus Semien this year, and wouldn't add another arm. Okay, you're going, Jeff, they traded for Steve Matz. I'm talking about an arm that was a little more established. I'm talking about a free agent arm. And Barker, you made the point. Maybe they didn't see any arms they wanted. That's possible.
Yeah.
Or guys didn't want to sign here. But you know what? At this stage, at this stage, like I'm looking at this lineup, and if you were operating under the assumption that next year is the year you really contend, which I happen to think is what they've done. They aren't going to come out and tell us that, but I happen to think that next year is go time. This year is kind of get to the line. This year is just kind of see what's over the top of the mountain. You may not make it over. I think next year is the year you go to the whip hand with this particular group and this particular team. But even having said that, unless you are absolutely convinced you're going to sign Robbie Ray again, you're still going to need, put it this way, if Manoah and Pearson both make, say Manoah and Pearson both make the major league rotation at the end of the year. Well, next year, you're still going to need another arm. I don't think you want to count, Robbie Ray may not come back.
Ryu probably taking a step backwards sooner than later.
I mean, it's you're going to need another arm anyway. So yeah, my point is, do it now. And again, I really was surprised that Steven Matz was the only significant pitching acquisition.
I was surprised they didn't go out and get a veteran catcher. That was the one thing. Get you through some
yeah, but that wasn't
starts. And,
but that wasn't high. I'm with you. Look, I know they talked to James McCann. We all know they talked to James. He didn't sign here. But we all know they talked to James McCann. And I'm sure there are other catchers that they kick tires on. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to have a veteran catcher here. I agree with you, but that's not on my priority list. Let me rephrase that. It was on my priority list in the winter, but not as much as getting a guy like Springer and getting and adding another.
They get
another
George
run.
Springer back and start scoring runs like they're supposed to score runs. It'll take care of the pitching woes a little bit.
KM in Norfolk County. God, I hope you're wrong. I'm breaking out in hives even thinking about reading this. Nate seems to have the same issue as Sean Reed Foley. Yeah, he's a better pitcher than Sean Reed Foley.
He is?
And that's what is between the ears.
Can't argue that.
Okay. That's from KM in Norfolk County. And that doesn't mean when we say between the ears, it doesn't mean that he's an idiot. What it means is, I mean, I think confidence is as much a feeling you have between the ears as you do in your heart. Right?
There's one thing Pete Walker can't
teach.
That's
almost poetic, isn't it?
Pete Walker can't teach
confidence
this.
Is a thing as much in your brain between your ears as in your heart. It does. Is that not
no
beautiful,
idea
Barker?
What that means. I will say this. Pete Walker can't teach mound presence. Right now, Nate doesn't have that. That a little bit of that, I used to have that. Stand on the on-deck circle and I look whipped. Nate, don't have a little bit of that looking whipped on the mound? Like, I don't really know if I really want to throw this or not. He's an awfully big man and an awfully hard thrower, not to occasionally just be ticked off that I'm not throwing it where I want to throw it and grab it and just, here it is. There's a little bit of,
there's a little bit of that. Yeah. You'd kind of like the.
I'm going around the fence here with what I want to really say.
Yeah.
Which you could probably figure out what I want to say, but that's the one thing I think that needs to take a step forward.
Yeah. One of the things, and I'm not comparing him to Julian Merriweather. One of the things I like Merriweather is about Merriweather, who's hurt. But one of the things I liked about him was there was a certain amount of, screw you, the game doesn't start until I throw the ball, about him.
He threw 99 for strikes. Yeah. That helps, too. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just every now and then.
Yeah. This will be a conversation. Every time he pitches, we will be having the same conversation with Nate.
Mm.
What's it look like and how's he going to fix it?
Yeah, I but we are on the same page. I think and most people are as well that
there's no benefit of him sending him down.
No.
For me, he really doesn't know how to fix it. He needs somebody to help him and tell him how to fix it.
Kick some Scranton.
Nobody
butt.
Trust me, I was in the minor leagues a long time.
Butt.
Nobody told me how to fix anything. Nobody.
Kick some.
Because they don't know how to fix it down there.
Go down.
They don't have video. Yeah, you got your hitting coach with your
little VHS
holding it behind you going, hold on, don't move.
Butt.
They don't do that at the big league level.
Kick some wound socket.
They're even a team.
Yeah. Wound socks, I think. Isn't that? Didn't they move from Pawtucket to Wound Socket?
Pawtucket.
I got to see you now, just because you know me, I am a stickler for accuracy.
Yeah, you're all over it.
I'm all over it, like, you know. In a stick. Wound Socket. It's in Rhode Island. Wound Socket Red Sox. Come on, Jeff. Be right. There you go. Wound Socket Red Sox.
Change the subject.
It's Worcester Red Sox.
Let me throw something at you.
Pawtucket Red Sox are still around. Okay, so
let me throw something at you.
Yes.
Bo Bichette's hitting .217 off the fastball.
Oh.
Surprised? Worried?
No.
Neither. Oh, you're not surprised?
I'm surprised, but I'm not worried. Nothing worries me about Bo Bichette.
Okay.
Not a thing. There are two players that I have resolved I will not worry about this year.
Danny Jansen.
No. That is Bo, and that Vladdy has graduated to be with Bo. I don't care. Vladdy, you know, I saw someone.
Was on the website.
3 for 23.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. 3 for 23.
That's a bad series.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Who cares?
Folks, if we got to start asking questions about Vladdy Scuflin. We need to slap ourselves. We need to do who slapped himself in the face? Ken Giles punched himself in the face. We need to do that. Stop. Don't even look at Vladdy or Bo's numbers. Who cares? They are both going to be very good. It's just, if you want to look at the defense a little bit, okay, it's a work in progress, but it drives me nuts when people... I don't care what he's hitting off a fastball. What's he going to be hitting at the end of the year? Bo's going to hit 300 at the end of the year.
300?
Bo's going to hit 300 with 30 bombs this year.
300 on the fastball?
No, he's going to be a 300 hitter. The end of the year. And that would tend to suggest that he's probably going to hit better in the fastball.
Again, there's like 15 of those a year at the big league level.
Yeah.
You think Bo's going to be one of them?
Yep.
Bo's a free swinger.
Yes, he is.
Free swingers hit 300? That's like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. You think he'll ever hit 300?
I think Bo's a better hitter than
Lourdes. Of course he is. But point being is they're both free swingers. They swing at everything. Bo like a swingy.
Huh?
Bo likes swingy.
Yeah.
I say the leg kick is a lot going on there, is my point.
It is the
over, you know, he overswings a lot. That's my question. I'm not saying he ain't great, because he is. Offensively, he is.
See that double he hit yesterday? He's a little foof. Did you see the fruition of his finish?
I like his
finish.
You know how he gets to his finish?
How?
He don't overswing. In big old overswings, he never gets to his finish, does he? He's falling across the plate and doesn't have as much barrel coverage as the strike zone, yada, yada, yada. Just saying. I expect a lot more from him than everybody else.
Marcus Semien has as many home runs now as he hit last year.
Yeah. Marcus Semien is no likey breaking ball. If it's spinning, he got, I almost say no chance. I mean, he's got two hits off the something that's spinning.
So why would you throw him up?
Or a changeup or a fastball. I've questioned that numerous times. But you know why? Because who's standing on that on-deck circle? That's why. Because you walk him, and then Bo comes up there swinging at everything and may barrel something up because he thinks he can. And usually he can get a little backspin going big part of the field. That's why he's getting fastball changeup.
We had another no-hitter this weekend. It was Wade Miley throwing it. We've had five because I'm including. Stop it. We've had five because I'm including Madison Bumgarner. Four of the no-hitters have been thrown by lefties. I don't know what that means. John Means, Carlos Rodon, Wade Miley, Madison Bumgarner. Joe Musgrove is the... is the righty.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means.
but it is in the very least interesting. That's a lot of no-hitters, folks. That's a year's worth of no-hitters some years, and we're in six weeks. And as I mentioned, one team, your Cleveland Indians, Mr. Barker, have been no-hit twice. So we'll take a deeper look at that. We'll talk about Francisco Lindor. I don't think Luis Rojas lasts the year as manager of the New York Mets. We'll talk about fights in the dugout, fights in the tunnel. It's Baseball Central and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Barker, do you have any idea why we've seen so many no-hitters so far?
Velocity and the shift.
Wade Miley?
Add and subtracting. Okay. The teams they're facing, you know, the Indians aren't the greatest of offensive teams. You pitch around one or two guys in that order. Everybody else you can get out with a couple of pitches. You don't have to use three or four pitches. You know, I don't want to say the all or nothing swings. Look, it is what it is. If you're trying to get the ball in the air with velocity, there's not a ton of ways you can do it unless you're trying to think about getting the ball out in front of the plate. That's why you're seeing the strikeouts. Pitchers are much better than hitters right now. I gave you four answers right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the lefty thing, I will say when I was a player and you're seeing now in baseball, and we're seeing it a lot with the lefties that pitch for the Blue Jays, a lot of hitters don't like the ball in. And if you can establish something in there and that opens up everything else on the plate and that allows you to add and subtract a little bit easier, that's one of the reasons. That's why I think you're seeing the lefties. Again, it's accumulation of things, you know, or like a couple of the lefties that are throwing the no-hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Like Carlos Rodon, he throws 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
With a curveball and a changeup. You know, he can elevate the heater. He can pitch in. That's a big thing. Musgrove can add and subtract. Got a big yakker. That's a curveball.
Yep.
John Means, that's a fastball changeup. That seems to be the theme now, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Subtract. Easiest way to do that and control the strike zone, be efficient, is don't spin it as much. Establish something in, expand with something that's got to take a little off, looks exactly like your fastball. Wade Miley, look, miracles happen. That's one of them things.
Well, it is true. You know, yeah. I'm looking at, hey, there were 2019, the last full season in the majors, there were four no-hitters throwing. Mike Fiers, Taylor Cole, and Felix Pena on July 12th. Of course, the four-pitcher no-hitter thrown by the Houston Astros, and then Justin Verlander as well. Going back to 2018, there are only three no-hitters. 2017, there was one. 2016, there was one. 2015, there was seven no-hitters in 2015.
Yeah, here you go. Wade Miley throws cutter, changeup. About 80% of the time, cutter, change. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that don't throw hard who are left-handed would rather try and get soft contact, and they would strike you out and subtract it. So if you don't have an electric fastball, what do? You do it with some movements where you throw it. It's not so much how hard you throw it. And then off of that, you throw a changeup. That's the thing, right? You speed them up, slow them down kind of thing. And when you're speeding them up, you do it with a little bit of movement. Smart. You have to locate, and obviously have to have some luck. You know, the fence has to be in the right spots. A couple of times there, line drives are hit right over the second base bag. Mm-hmm. Yet there's this guy standing there. This is a shift, right?
It makes you wonder how many. It's a silly point, I guess. But it kind of makes you wonder how many more no-hitters we would have seen if there was more of a shift like back in.
How about it? What were y'all? What was I always taught when I was growing up? Hit it backwards pitched. You can't. Can you do that now? If you do that, no. You're out.
You're out. Yeah.
So why would you even try to do that? So what do? You try and get out and around, or you let the ball travel a little bit more? That's good luck.
Do you like watching no-hitters?
No. I shouldn't say no. It depends on who it is. Wade Miley, I'm not tuning into that. I'm just not.
Justin,
sorry.
Verlander, you are.
Verlander, Max Scherzer, guys that, you know, do it a special way. Mike Fiers, another one of those guys. Probably not. He's in that Wade Miley mix. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a little bit. I can't believe he's doing it. It gets back to that's why you love baseball. Miracles happen. Am I on the edge of my seat on a Wade Miley? My God, where are you going to throw that cutter? Don't throw it there. Probably not. So, yeah, you know, look, and I'm a hitter. I tried to be one anyway. It's one of those things where I never like to see anybody get no hits. In Cleveland, that's tough, right? You get no hit early in the season twice already.
That is tough.
You ain't got a lot to build off of.
That is like tough. That,
where are we going here?
No, that
as
is,
an organization.
That is tough. Friday night, the New York Mets had a little bit of an incident. Was Friday night?
Maybe. I was watching a lot of games. Yeah, maybe.
I was going around back and forth. Essentially, Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil got into it Friday night.
You know why they got into it?
Well, hang on just a minute. And then, and of course, because there aren't media access is restricted now because of COVID-19. SNY, the Mets broadcaster, did show, you could see footage of guys coming in off the field and running down into the tunnel right mm-hmm. away. Now, the excuse given later was that Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil were debating whether or not an animal they saw between the clubhouse and the dugout was a rat or a raccoon.
Now,
if you've been in New York, it is entirely possible to see a rat as big as a raccoon. But we know that that wasn't the reason. And Mr. Barker, you've done a little bit.
I bet you know that's funny that they obviously have to sit around and try and make up an excuse because two guys got into it.
Did you see their general manager came out yesterday and ripped them and said, he said, look, I understand that what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. But he said, by making up that story, you've just given the story more life.
There you go. Just come out and own it and say, Lindor don't like the shift. On defense, he don't like playing in the shift a ton.
Hey, how do you?
He likes,
why not?
Because he's very athletic, and he likes to move one side or the other. It's not so much having a coach tell him. He thinks he's a good enough player to understand where a guy's bat path is and where he thinks he should have to play. He doesn't like that. So he likes to be able to stand where he wants to stand. And then you got a second baseman who is playing into the shift, being told where to play and where to stand, those kind of things. And one guy wants it and the other guy wants it and neither one of them get it. And then they start talking back and forth. You should have got it. No, I should have had it. And look, they're grown men. Grown men occasionally have a little issue with each other. It happened a lot. I mentioned this. Minor leagues have a lot more probably does the big leagues. Because big leagues, they don't really care as much as making a ton of money. It's more about themselves.
Right.
They don't really care.
Minor leagues, you're fighting for a job.
It's about me.
Did you ever get in a fight in the minors with a teammate?
I was close. Like it was, I'm not much of a hold me back guy neither, especially in the minor leagues. I mean, yeah. I'd have my times where I was ready to go. Of course. But it never happened. You know, I was
trying to be a little bit more grown up, Jeff.
You'll be the veteran leader in the, just follow Barker's example.
But that's the way it is. I have seen pitching coaches come out. Teddy Powers was famous for coming out and basically holding his hand over his mouth and saying, if you don't stop throwing that, I'm going to whip your beep right now on this mound. Now, we all laugh because he's got two fake hips and it's hilarious. Yeah. But, yeah, like he's dead serious. Like it gets to the point where, the higher levels you go, everybody starts to take things a little bit more serious than they do at lower levels and it's all part of it. I just didn't understand why. I get Lindor struggling, and it's new for him to be booed, and you're in the spotlight there. Yeah. Everything you do matters.
Yeah,
you're not in Cleveland anymore.
You have to be the bigger man.
Come out and just say, look, I didn't like what he said.
Yeah.
We're over it. He did his thing. I did my thing. He apologized. I ain't apologizing because I didn't think I was wrong.
Man, I'll tell you, I just don't think Luis Rojas lasts the All-Star break there.
It's his fault that Lindor can't.
No, he's not. No, but Bark, here's the thing. Everything that organization's gone through, they fired the hitting coach. Yeah. What happens next?
I'm with you. It's going to happen. Somebody's got to take the blame for it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the new owner or the new president.
Nope.
Not going to be those. I get it. It is what it is. Pitch better, play better defense, hit better. That's what I say.
MLB Network just had a picture of Dusty Baker and Jeff Kent getting into it.
They didn't really get into it.
Barry Bonds was there as well.
It was more of a.
Like, who were you with? Were you with San Diego then?
I was in the other dugout.
Okay.
That was more between Kent and Bonds, I think, and the manager was trying to be. I don't know what he was trying to be, but he was trying to be the sensible one of the two. And I do remember, I think Barry slapped Kent in the face Somebody slaps me in the face. You going to... Are you going to take that? Like, if I... There it is.
See?
Like,
didn't work.
Good thing this...
The shower curtain's there.
Yeah.
By the way, there's something on the shower curtain.
What was it?
I don't know, but it's a little concerning. Anyhow.
Maybe they need a new one. It's been there forever.
It's full of germs, this thing. Anyhow, so you
yeah, it's look, you would rather that happen in the tunnel, which I was trying to go that way towards the tunnel, and I'm not thinking that Barry let it get to the tunnel. I don't understand why people get so excited about baseball. Maybe it's more of because when you do see brawls and like a pitcher will hit a hitter and it's a lot of hold me back kind of thing. And then when you actually see it, everybody's shocked. Can't believe that guy slapped that guy in the face. That happens all the time. All the time. Like, I don't know about the slapping in the face part, but at all the times it happens, somebody gets in a headlock and somebody's trying to pull somebody else off. It always happens that way. You just rarely see it because we're grown men and we all want to do well at that level. Any level, and especially the higher levels you go. You know, I was a lot in AAA, and I was a grown man in AAA a lot, and I was getting tired of being in AAA. And a lot of play, you know, it's not that way anymore. A lot of your young prospects are in AAA now, but when I played, it was older guys, and older guys were fighting to get back to the big leagues. And if they were 0 for 15, they weren't taking it out on themselves. They were taking it out on their teammates. That's just the way it was. You had to deal with it that way. So, it's funny. It's funny to watch. It's funny. It's more funny to listen to people make up stories about seeing giant raccoons in a tunnel. Come on. When you see coaches running down in tunnels, it ain't because of raccoons. No. It's because the player just signed for $341 million is choke slamming somebody in the...
Wash your hand.
Yeah.
Anthony DeComa, by the way, reporting, the Mets are reporting that the MRA is back on Jacob DeGrom. He has no structural damage. However, the Mets plan to place DeGrom on the injured list tomorrow due to right side tightness.
That's smart. Hard thrower. I mean, he is their team. Without him, they got no chance.
I wonder if they were seeing, just put your leg around the
your I don't head think a little so. Farther. I'm not sure he's that guy. Like, he's probably setting his own...
Like, I mean, it's like watching that Peloton commercial. Is that what they're doing with it?
I have no idea. It's very secretive. Do you have any idea what they do?
No.
We can just guess that when you see Dolez, who is the, you know, athleticism is not the one thing that stands out to Dolez, is it? Like, does he have to be super limber? Hurry, you know, he ain't running out. He ain't running from the bullpen to the mound in a hurry. No. You know, waiting on me, he takes it to a whole different level.
We will be joined tomorrow by, I think it's Alex Anthopoulos tomorrow, Tom Glavine.
We'll get him to break down HB department.
The Jays have today off. Yeah. The Jays have today off. They'll start a 3-game series against the Braves tomorrow.